Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Tell us, what was the highlight of your college experience?
You hear it from everyone. You definitely can't go past the Cambodia trip. Our year was actually, I think, the only year that actually went for a full month, which was insane. I think even at the time, we were like, that's nuts. But when we were there and even on the ground, we were all just like, well, most of us actually didn't even want to leave. We didn't want to come home. It was really impacting. Just being even there for such a long period of time really activates your faith, really pushes you out of your comfort zone. But it teaches you so much about God. Even just living in each other's pockets for an entire month, you learn a lot about people, you learn a lot about yourself. But that was definitely something that not easy to forget.
Obviously, you were serving in youth and got saved in this church and gave your heart to the Lord and all of that. But the year of greatest accelerated growth that I remember for you was actually at college and what God did in you. Can you tell us a little bit about what God did in your life that year that you set aside to be part of college?
Yeah, well, I had always actually wanted to do college, but I decided when I was finishing high school that I would honor my parents and do university instead, because they don't know God, they're not Christians, so they didn't really believe in what I believed in, and they weren't really for it. So I chose to honor my parents by doing university first. And I was actually in my last year of uni, and I decided to finish my last part-time couple of units that I had left of uni, do uni, do college, work at church. And it was stretching. It was a very stretching year. I did it all. And God's grace was so sufficient in all of it. At the end of that year, I actually had a major surgery. I had a giant a cyst that was growing on my ovary taken out. And so I was actually out for a good 6 weeks of work, of uni, of college. And even still, God graced me enough to get me through it. And I know for a lot of people, college seems really daunting and seems really overwhelming. But if I can, if God can take me through all those different, hurdles and obstacles and through that entire season, I know that He can for you as well. And so, yeah.
And you're going to celebrate your first anniversary with your lovely husband soon,
correct,
right?
You've taken my entire intro.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. In 2 weeks' time. Literally 2 weeks. That actually was also a time you blubbered at my wedding.
Let's not go there with that.
Yes.
So give Louisa a big hand. Thanks for telling people. I never cry except at your wedding.
It's because He loves. He loves. So dearly, let's give it up for our incredible senior pastors, Pastor Ken and Chrissy. I only mention it because our senior pastors love us so dearly, and that's evident by the fact that, my very own senior pastor at my wedding blubbered as I was coming down the aisle, and I know it's because he loves me. I honestly do thank you so much, Pastor Ken and Chrissy. You guys are like spiritual parents to me and Cal. We are so blessed to be under your leadership, to be friends with you guys, for walking with us, and so, yeah, we just honor you and thank you so much. Thank you for letting me have the platform, and I know that although Pastor Rick is not here, Pastor Rick and Becca are off celebrating their anniversary as well, I believe, but I do want to honor them because they are incredible people, and I truly believe our church has become 50 times more welcoming than it was before, which is hard to believe because we are known for being a very welcoming church. And then as soon as they rocked up, it like went triple fold. So aren't they amazing? Well, Pastor Ken has already taken my intro out. Yes, I am Louisa Brown. I've been working here for a little while. I actually started coming to Nations Church about 12 years ago when I came along to what I was told was a party on a Friday night. And it turned out I was in a youth ministry. And I was like, okay, I don't know what kind of party this is, but it's awesome. And I stayed, and it was amazing. I did do Bible college in 2015. And yes, I was previously working in our youth ministry, probably telling off all your teenagers at summer camp. It's part of my role. I now, yes, work in the events, and it's amazing. I love it. I am still part of our youth ministry because I do love building up the next generation. And I honestly never imagined myself working at church, never saw myself as a part of this, but I tell you what, it's the best life that I could ever live, and it's all for the glory of God. And so before we get into it, why don't we pray? Why don't we give it over to Him, yeah? God, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You are good to us. And Lord, even from the outset of this service, I pray today, Lord God, will we hear from You? Would we draw closer to You? May we walk out of this place so much closer and in love with You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. As Pastor Ken already mentioned, I am celebrating a one-year wedding anniversary in 2 weeks' time. And as someone who is, you know, 1 year married, I sure have a lot to share about it. I know that 1 year of marriage, you're like, honey. But, you know, I have learned a lot in our first year of marriage. I've definitely learned a lot about my husband. I thought I really knew him. And then you get married and you really start to know them. Look, he gave me permission to be able to dish out some details of him. You see, what I've discovered about my husband since we got married in our first year of marriage is that my husband, Callum Brown, really, really, really loves plants. He adores them. And I tell you, I have caught him staring longingly and lovingly at the houseplants more than he does me. He cherishes them. He loves them. He is a gardener. He loves plants. I also have discovered that my husband, Cal Brown, does not like when I leave the clothes out on the line for too long. Now, I will wear this. This was my bad because I did leave his new Seahawks t-shirt that he got for his birthday out on the line and it got sun bleached, ended up with a line, no longer can wear it anymore. And so that was my bad. I will wear that. I'm sorry. But I've also learned that my husband is incredibly loyal and persistent. He's a man that does not quit. Doesn't matter how frustrated he gets. Doesn't matter how hard things are. He is persistent. He will not quit. He's also a very, very deep thinker. If you know my husband, if you've ever spent time with him, he doesn't say much, but he's thinking of a lot in his head. There is so much going on up there. He's a very deep thinker. But he's also an incredibly gifted person. You know, he does all the news, the videos, everything that you see at events and stuff like that. He films and edits every single one of them. And he's never studied film or editing before. It's incredible. Anything he puts his hand to, his persistence, his loyalty, he'll be able to pick it up and be an expert at it instantly. I honestly think he could take up any trade and be brilliant at it. He could be an electrician. I'm sure he'd be amazing. You see, you learn a lot about a person when your relationship grows, right? When you take the next step. You know, in this last year of marriage, I've been talking to God a lot about my relationships. And one in particular is my relationship with Him. How's my relationship with God going? See, a relationship with God is something that is deep and personal between us and God, between me and God. It's no one else can have this relationship with God but me and Him. And yet, even as a Christian, I do stop to wonder, you know, how is that relationship going? You know, when was the last time me and God just chatted? Where He spoke to me and I spoke to Him? When was the last time we just hung out? Or was the last time I heard from God from the preacher on the stage? Or from a podcast? Or from a prophet? Or from someone else? When was the last time I really, you know, it was just me and God? Because, you know, everything that I just told you about my husband, Cal Brown, does not actually mean that you have the same relationship with my husband. That would be weird, wouldn't it? You know, it doesn't make your relationship with my husband the same. I've had to have the conversations, the encounters, the experiences with him to have that relationship. And you would need to have the same conversations, encounters, and experiences to have that relationship with him. The more that I share about my husband does not mean that you now vicariously have a relationship with my husband. And so it is the same with God. Just because there's someone on a stage that tells of who he is, that shares of his goodness, of his kindness, of his character, of all that he is, doesn't mean that you now vicariously have a relationship with God. See, to be in relationship with God, you actually need to walk with him. You need to spend time with him. You need to journey through some things, work some things out together. You actually need to do the journey, actually commit, stay faithful and devoted to that relationship with God, just like any relationship that we would have on this earthly world. And so the title of my message, if it's not already up there, is Vicariously Knowing God. Of course, I am a college alumni, so another thing that you learn in college is just to find big words in your essays, in your assignments, because that helps to fill out your word count. And so vicarious, for those that don't know what that means, I just thought it was a cool word, and then I looked it up and I was like, oh, sweet. Meaning experiencing through the feelings or actions of someone else. It's kind of like a secondhand experience. Yeah? And the Bible is a complete love story. It's a fat book that talks about the relationship that God has with his people, the relationship that he desires with his people. And today, we're going to dive into the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, that word Exodus is actually a Greek word meaning the way out. And if you know your Bible well, you know your word well, you'll know that Exodus is the book where the Israelites were actually brought out of slavery in Egypt, that went through the Red Sea. They were led by Moses to find their way out of slavery, their way out of that physical bondage. But if that physical bondage was the only thing that they needed a way out of, then we would actually stop the story at chapter 15. But there's actually a lot more beyond chapter 15. There's a lot more that goes on that actually tells us what they really needed to get out of. See, what they really needed was also a way out of their theological bondage. They actually needed to know who God truly was again. So from then, Exodus chapter 15 to 20, we see God reveal facets in himself to them all through Moses. Not only does he make a way through the Red Sea, he parts the sea and makes a way for them to escape. In the desert, God then provides their every need, food, water, shelter, direction, leadership, strategy, even victory. God provides it all through Moses. And he reveals his faithfulness through Moses. So up until this point, in the all first 20 chapters of Exodus, the Israelites are basically vicariously receiving instruction from God through Moses. And then we drop into Exodus 20. And this is where the Israelites actually hear from God for themselves for the very first time. And he says this in Exodus 20, 1-6, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.'" Again, if you know your Bible well, it continues on with the rest of the 10 commandments. And this is the first time the Israelites are actually hearing from God directly. It's not through Moses. It's not vicarious anymore. It's personal. And what he does is he assures them that he is the Lord their God. He reveals to them that he is the one that brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And he gives them the instruction on how to live and how to live well. But then we read on, and this is how the Israelites respond. Exodus 20, 18 to 19, it says, "When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die.'" Now the Israelites here, I think they're being a bit melodramatic. It's like your teenager having to go back to school after the summer holidays. "No, Mom, if I go to school today, I'm just going to die." Just being a bit melodramatic, you know? They're scared. They're fearful. They actually don't know how to respond to a God that is speaking directly to them. And so they send Moses back up the mountain and say, "Hey, you do the talking and let us know what he says." But why? See, the Israelites, their only experience, this generation, their only experience of God, of a king, was actually through Pharaoh, was a slave master, someone that tortured them, made them do the work. That was their only understanding of a king, of a ruler. And God was their king, their very first king. They didn't have this revelation, this relationship with God as a God that loves, as a king that cares and provides. They didn't have that relationship. They didn't have that revelation. And they were more comfortable having a vicarious relationship with God through Moses. They sent him back up the mountain. And I wonder that as we as a generation begun to fall comfortable in having a vicarious relationship with God through the preacher on the stage, or through the prophet when he comes, or through your connect leader. You know, we shouldn't need to shy away from God. He's our loving Father. He's someone we can draw near to, someone we can speak to directly. He's not someone we should shy away from. We can approach him boldly, without fear, without trembling. So back to the story in Exodus. Moses, he goes back up to the mountain. He's there for 40 days and 40 nights, not drinking, not eating, and he's having a great time with God. To personally talking with God, hearing from him, and all that God wants for him and his people. And there Moses receives detailed instructions on the way that they should live, on what they should do, even the things that they should build. And Moses, he's there journaling it all down on these stone tablets. And now we drop into Exodus 32. And what we see is what's going on whilst Moses is with God on the mountain. It says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. What we see here is that the Israelites have completely missed everything that God had just audibly, personally said to them. Literally everything. It's almost like when your teenager ignores you when you ask them to clean their room. Completely misses it. Over their heads. Clearly, you know, their most critical problem wasn't physical bondage. It was a theological one. It was who they knew God to be. Sometimes our own critical problem might not be our bondage. But in fact, our most critical problem is possibly just knowing God. Knowing what he's saying, knowing what he's speaking, knowing what he has for our lives. You know, here in Exodus 32, they believed Moses was the one that brought them out of Egypt, not God. But yet, when we go back to Exodus 20, the very first thing that God said is that he is the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery. They've completely missed what God said. They believe that Moses was the one that brought them out. And so then what do? They make a golden calf, because that's what you do. They make a golden calf, even though God so clearly, plain as day, said, do not make idols. Do not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. They completely missed everything that God had said because they were more comfortable vicariously knowing God through Moses. How crazy. And then here's where we see the jealousy of God revealed. You know, this word jealous is actually in the Bible, can also be translated to mean zeal. It's one and the same depending on the context. And both are passionate emotions towards someone or something that we love. See, he is only jealous for us because he loves us. He loves us so deeply. It's kind of like the girls in high school when they're jealous that the cute boy likes some other girl because they just want to be loved by the cute boy. You can tell I hang around a lot of teenagers. You can read it for yourself, Exodus 32. Wait, God is about ready to disown the Israelites. He's about ready to destroy them all. He's that angry, he's that jealous that they would choose to worship, to adore, to love a golden calf more than him. And then Moses, because Moses, he's got such a great relationship with God. He pleads with God. He pleads with him. And he pleads with God, and God decides, okay, I won't destroy them. But instead, what begins is the 40 years of wandering in the desert. What begins is 40 years of wandering through the desert and not reaching the promised land. See, I think like I said, the most critical problem wasn't their physical bondage. It was their theological one. They didn't know who God was. And that 40 years was preparation for them to finally know who God was. They needed to know God as their king, as the one to follow, not Moses. Again, if you know your Bible, you know that Moses actually never got to enter the promised land. They followed someone else. They needed to know who God was. They needed to be restored back to relationship with him. And so they're continuously reminded of it, reminded, instructed, and shown grace upon grace to break their old slave mindsets towards God. In Deuteronomy, Moses shares all that God spoke to him of the about the Israelites, about their future, about what he had for them. And it says in Deuteronomy 4:23-24, it says, "Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." So Moses here reminds the group, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't make for yourselves an idol. God loves you. He's jealous for you. He wants you to worship him. He wants you in relationship with him. And then as we continue on, Moses gives us a snapshot on what that actually looks like, on how we actually worship God. And it says in verse 29, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." It's as simple as that, church. Seek him. Seek him with all your heart, with all your soul. Seek to know him. Seek to be with him. Seek to know his face, know his ways, know his word, know his will. Seek to know God. Not through someone else, but for yourself. God is in and amongst everything. He's always at work. You don't have to look for long. He's the kind of God, he's the kind of God that hides in plain sight. You know when you play hide and seek with kids and then they're like stand next to you behind a chair and cover their eyes thinking that they're hiding? It's like God. He hides in plain sight. And when you seek him, you will find him. Sometimes we might be looking in all the wrong places when it's right in front of us. When he's right in front of us, he's right there. And if you truly look at where your life is right now, you know, for some of you, finding God might be quite hard. You might be facing a really hard situation, and I get that. But can I tell you that God is a God that does do the miraculous? He does provide for his people. He does do the impossible. I mean, he brought the Israelites out of slavery through the Red Sea. He parted the seas. If he can do that for the Israelites, what could he do for you? He's in your situation. He is in your circumstance. You know, if you seek him for what he has for you, what he wants to do in you and through you, not through what I'm saying, but what he says directly to you, you will find it. You don't need the prophet to come. We don't need the Welsh Eagle or the Iron Prophet. Why do they have nicknames like that? I don't know. All you need is to seek him. Seek him and you will find him. We don't need to rely on our Moseses. As much as Pastor Ken brings an incredible word every single week, we don't need to rely on him to give us the word that he has for us this week. He's a God that wants to say it to you directly. He wants to speak it to you directly. You know, when it comes to being a true disciple, it's not about how much you think you know of God. I think the critical question we should all be asking ourselves is, who do you say he is to you? Who do you say he is? You know, Jesus actually asked the same question to his disciples in Matthew 16:13-20. It says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied," this is the best bit, "'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Jesus here, he's testing his disciples. It's almost like he's telling them, no, tell me what you really think of me. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Tell me what you really think. And so he says, who do you say I am? Really, who do you say I am? And Peter, he gets this revelation of who Christ is to him, the Messiah, his Savior, because he's experienced and encountered the saving grace of Christ. Not because anyone had told him to say that, but because he truly knew it and had encountered the Messiah. See, you don't really know who God is until you experience him. You really don't. You know, like I said, I've been brought up in this church for the last 12 years. And about 2 years ago, we went on a youth leaders retreat down south. And at the time, I was our Fuel youth pastor, which is like the junior school, year 7s to 9s. And I do remember that at that stage, in that very moment, I was kind of just wrestling with my outer reality of what I was doing, but my inner self as well. Where I was at with God, I was struggling, I was wrestling with it. And I remember we had a worship session, and Rex Ellis, he came up to me, and he came to pray for me, and he put his hand on my shoulder. And I remember as clear as day, I felt this weight, just this weight of this hand that had incredible strength, but was so incredibly safe. And as he prayed for me, I just felt this overwhelming sense of peace, of love, of support, like someone was backing me, literally, like someone was behind me. He was for me. And he was with me. And I felt this security like I've never felt before. And, you know, I don't have that kind of relationship with my earthly father. You know, we don't have a terrible relationship. It's just distant. So I never experienced a God that was close, a father that was close, that was near. I had never experienced a father that was strong and safe to be with. I never experienced a father whose love was comforting and secure. And in this very moment, even though I knew God was my heavenly father, in this very moment, I knew God was my heavenly father. Because it was something that I had experienced, something that I had encountered, something that I knew for myself. And I could say, I could answer that question, who do you say I am? I can say that he is my heavenly father. I know what that is now. I know that my relationship with him is as my heavenly father. So God asks us that same question, who do you say I am? Who is he really to you, church? I tell you what, he wants to know you personally, and he wants you to know him personally, to encounter him, not just read or hear about him on a podcast, but to experience him. See, Peter, he got a revelation of Christ, and you know what he received? He received promises, purpose, identity. He received provision, abundance of all that is found in knowing him personally. If we go back to verse 17 to 20, Jesus said, blessed are you. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, a new identity. He's given an identity. And on this rock I will build my church, a purpose, a promise. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Great provision. So whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, why is this important? Why can we no longer just vicariously know God? It's because if we vicariously know God through someone else's experiences, someone else's encounters, then we miss out on the things that God has specifically for you. God has something specifically for your life. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. I know that we probably talk about that a lot in youth ministry, and you probably heard that a lot growing up, but it's true. He has a plan and purpose for your life, church, for you individually, for you specifically, for you and your world, for you and your family. He has a plan and purpose for you. Maybe what you're looking for, what you're waiting for, is not found in the preacher saying it on the stage, someone giving a prophetic word. Maybe it's found in you seeking God and finding it out for yourself, finding out who He is, finding out what He has for you. So what's your relationship with God like right now? You know, is He your best friend? The one you go to talk about everything, that you just can't wait to spend time with, that you just can't wait to tell of the things that just happened in your day? Or is He that old high school friend that when you pass at the shops, you don't say hello? You kind of like walk to the other side and you're like, Where's your relationship at with God? Is He the high maintenance friend? You know, the one that you kind of have to be in a certain mood, you need to be ready for, to spend time with? Or is He a low maintenance friend? Just someone that you can even just sit in complete silence with. Just sit in the presence of His love, of His grace, of His goodness. Is He the person that you've become so familiar with that even when you're in His presence, you're not present? It's like when you're at a dinner date and the person in front of you is just on their phone. They're present, but they're not present. Is that who God is to you? Just become so familiar that you're not even present in His presence? Or is He the lover of your soul? Is He the one that woos you, that celebrates you, that loves you so dearly, that knows your heart's desires? Is He the lover of your soul? You know, we're all on a different journey. I know that there are so many people that are different places with God. And I just encourage you, church, wherever you're at in your relationship with God, why don't you just take the next step? Take the next step in your relationship with Him. Why don't we get to know Him better? Grow deeper in relationship with Him. You know, it's time we start vicariously knowing God and get our own encounters, get our own experiences with Him. You know, may we be people who receive the prayer of Paul when he wrote to the church in Ephesus and the worship team. You guys can come join me. Ephesians 1, 17 to 21, it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Not for any other reason, but to know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God desires relationship with you. It's not religion, it's not rules, it's relationship. We hear that all the time, but where is it truly at? Would we be a church that hears His voice, that knows His voice, that knows our God for truly who He is, to not shy away from relationship with Him, but to know Him deeply and personally, so that we might have hope, so that we may be rich in His glorious inheritance, so that we might go with great power, the same strength that raised Christ from the dead. Let's stop living a vicarious relationship with God and get a real one for ourselves. Why don't you guys stand to your feet? I'm gonna switch gears. Because this whole time we're talking about a relationship with God. And this relationship with God, it's not just for the Christian. It's not just for the person that's known God for all their lives. It's for every single person. It's for you and for me, whether you know God or not. See, I came to youth when I was in year 9. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I didn't grow up in church. But when I came along on that Friday night, I was invited into this relationship with God, this relationship to know God, to receive Christ into my life and to live with Him for all my days, to have Him become my best friend, the person that I journey with, my number one, my ride or die. That's what I was invited into. And I want to provide that same opportunity to anyone in this place. If you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship with Him, with every eye closed and every head bowed, just for privacy's sake, because I'm not just talking to everyone, I'm also talking to you. Wherever you're at, however much you know of God, I just want to invite you. If you're saying, yeah, this relationship you're talking about, I think I want it. I want to give it a go. I want to know who this God is that you're talking about. But I'm telling you, He is not this high and lofty person up in the sky that throws lightning bolts. He's a God that loves. He's a God that cares. He's a God that gives. He's a Father, a heavenly Father that just desires for His sons and daughters to know Him and to live an abundant life. And He did so for us. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we could come back into relationship. Without Jesus, we would not be able to come to God so freely. We'd not be able to come to God so boldly. It's because of Christ, for what He's paid for our sin, that we're able to come to God so boldly and so freely again. And so I ask again, is that you? Do you want a relationship with God? And if so, with every head bowed and eye closed, I just want you to show me, just by raising your hand, indicate to me that that's you. You want to receive that. You want to know God. You want to receive that relationship with Him. We're not going to rush this moment. We've got some time. Is there anyone in this place who says, yeah, I want to know who God is. I want a relationship with Him. Yeah, I see your hand. So good. Is there anyone else? Anyone else in this place? Come on, church, why don't you pray with me? There's someone else in this room saying, you're on the brink, you're on the verge, you're on the edge of knowing who God is. And I know it seems scary, I know it seems so uncertain. That's faith. That's faith. Man, I was so scared, so nervous, even just walking on this stage. But it just takes faith. Take that step of faith. So good. I see another hand. Good job, man. So good. All right, church, we're going to say this prayer together. And if you raise your hand, I just want you to mean this prayer with all of your heart and with all your soul. God's not a God that just sees our actions. He sees our heart. He sees our intentions. And He knows exactly what He has for your life. He knows exactly what He wants to do in your life. So come on, church, why don't we say this prayer together? Dear God, I thank You that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. I acknowledge that Jesus, You are my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I want a relationship with You. I want to know You, and I want You to come into my life and be my best friend. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, church, let's celebrate that. Two incredible decisions that were made today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.